The following program sponsored by Christian Training and Development Services, Hanson Chiropractic, Northwest Family Life, Ludeman Capital Management, Network Services, and Cannon Beach Christian Conference Center.
Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
Welcome to Creation Matters. I'm Mike Riddle. And with me in the studio today is Fred Wilson, a former science teacher and coach from San Diego. Welcome, Fred.
Thanks, Mike. I'm glad to be here and join you.
And also with me in the studio is our favorite Pete Talbot.
Hey, it is all... I just drive into Seattle to be a part of this just because I love what you're doing. It is long overdue that we are talking about creation versus evolution. And I just can't get enough of Creation Matters every Tuesday night.
Well, thank you, Pete. You know, I find that all over the country, people just get addicted to this topic.
They do.
But yet, the churches are fighting it tooth and nail. They don't want to talk about this topic. But we have something very interesting here tonight. We have what I would consider probably one of the most controversial topics on creation evolution. And that is, does the Bible teach how old the earth is? Does the Bible talk about those days of creation as literal 24-hour periods? And if they do, we've got some problems. How in the world could Adam have named all those animals in just one day?
You know what really amazes me about this topic, Mike, is that even as a kid, preteen, I remember the debate in the church, a very conservative, fundamental church, and in the Christian community in general, this whole idea of real days, or were each of the days maybe 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years or whatever. And I remember the debate, but I don't remember the answers. In other words, I don't remember my church or anybody giving a good, solid creation response. I just don't. I remember it just, well, it's still up in the air. Well, someday we'll figure this out. And yeah, I just was left that way. And I think maybe our kids are really asking some equally big questions today. Needs to be answered.
They are being asked that question because in the science classes, they're being taught one way.
Yeah.
And, you know, many churches are teaching exactly what they're learning in those science classes. But we want to hear from you listeners today. Do you have an answer for the days of creation? Were they literal days? And could they have really been literal days? That's an awful short period of time there. Or are they billions of years or long indefinite periods of time? Give us a call if you have an answer to what those days of creation were. Give us a call on 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800. Or you can call us toll-free at 800-955-8200. And if you give us a call today, we have something free to give away.
Yeah, can I play Santa Claus here for
you
just a moment?
You sure can be.
Okay. We've got, we did this last night, and I think we gave away 49 tickets, and it was exciting. Now, we don't have that many tonight. We've only got 33 left, but if you call, anybody who calls and wants to go on the air and either ask a question of Mike or Fred, or answer the question that Mike is asking tonight, we'll give you the Lights of Christmas. This is a general event pass. It's good for one person, and it's worth $10. People are paying $10 for this right now, and we'll give you four or five, whatever you need, maybe even six, if you've got up to four kids, you and your spouse, or whatever you might need. We've got 33, at least, that we can give away. So anybody who calls tonight to go on the air to answer or ask a question, we're going to give you the Lights of Christmas General Pass up at Warm Beach. I'm not kidding you. This is a presentation. It'll just blow you. It's really wonderful for a family event, the Lights of Christmas. So all you have to do, give us a call, 800-955-8200, and you can be one of the lucky recipients of the Lights of Christmas.
Well, Pete, I notice we have a line open. Can I call in on that line and get one of these?
I told you ahead of time you could have some of these. Okay. Just take them off the top, Mike, but you're right.
Good, because I'd like to have one for my whole family.
Well,
there.
You got them. So we've got about 25, 26. How many do you need, Mike?
I have a big family.
Big family. We'll talk about that. Folks, come on, get in line. This is your opportunity to be part of, I think, a great show. And call us. We'll give you the tickets. 800-955-8200. You know, I've got a question for, can I ask him?
You sure Freddie? Can.
You're a former science teacher,
yes.
high school, junior mm-hmm. high?
High school.
How did you get away with teaching the truth, or was there political pressure on you to cover up the truth?
Well, when I taught science in the high school in Torrance, California.
Okay, Torrance, California.
I taught creation science along with evolution in my classes for 14 years.
Really? Did you get any flack over teaching creation?
Yeah, no flack over it because what I did in my classroom, I made truth the issue. So the kids felt free to argue for, argue against, debate. So we had some incredible events in my classroom.
I'll bet you did.
Isn't that a
novel
idea?
The kids enjoyed it. The kids
enjoyed
it.
Allowed to debate an issue? Isn't that a novel idea? In every other class in high school,
yeah.
In
literature,
school,
history.
Except when it comes to origins, we're not allowed to debate.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
How did you get away with that? Because today you would be fired.
Well, I think the reason I got away with it is because the first week in my class, I taught them how to determine truth. So from then on, the rest of the year, truth was the issue. So they could debate with me, they could argue with me, and they would never felt intimidated because I would always let them express their opinion.
Well, I have a question for you, Fred. Do you think our churches are allowing our people in the congregation to do that today when it comes to creation? Are they allowing the truth? Are they allowing the truth to be debated?
A lot of pastors, a lot of churches they want to avoid controversy, so they don't even bring up this particular issue.
And for the life of me, I can't figure out why. If this isn't core to the miracle of life, the miracle of God, the miracle of creation, boy, I don't know what's more central.
Well, let's get back to our topic.
Okay.
This whole idea of days of creation, could they? Are they really billions of years? Because I think, doesn't all the science really support the days of creation for long periods of time? Or are we missing something here in the science? Is something not being taught in the classroom? And do we really have a good understanding of the Bible? Maybe just that first chapter of Genesis is just good spiritual teaching. It's not real history. Can we really know?
Can we really know? Well, there's so many arguments for why the days are 24 hours in length that we need to discuss that for all the people. I think my best argument for the days of Genesis is Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, or 8 through 11, where God tells Israel, I want you to work 6 days and rest one because I actually created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested one. Now, is God telling an allegory there, or is the actuality the truth? Because if the days were months, let's say each day was a month long, that means you could work 6 months and rest a whole month, but you could not do any work for a month. Well, that's not going to work out in the real world. So, in fact, Dr. Young asked this particular question, how could God hold Israel responsible for working 6 days and resting one if he did not actually work 6 days and rest one when he made the heavens and the earth? And no man can really answer that question honestly unless he agrees that the days of Genesis are actually 24-hour periods.
Wow, that sounds pretty convincing. Let's go to Tina. Tina, do you have any ideas on these days of creation?
Well, I don't have an idea. I actually was hoping that maybe you could give me some ideas on some resources as a homeschooling parent for young children who are confronted with the issue of dinosaurs and millions of years and those sorts of things.
Well, I do have access to a lot of resources on that, Tina, and I actually have a book and a DVD that covers this whole issue on why it matters what we believe in the days of creation.
Right.
And we do have some books on dinosaurs, and actually I come out and do talks on dinosaurs for children first through sixth grade.
Great.
We have a whole talk on that. If you go to our website, creationmatters.org,
mm-hmm.
you'll find that one of the things we're starting to develop now is a whole new DVD and book for young children all about the truth of dinosaurs and where
Great.
They fit in and how they are mentioned in the Bible. And what the science really says.
And let me just point out here that is a fantastic bunch of material. I've seen it. In fact, we've talked about it on Hope Now in times past. It really is spectacular. It really does point to creation.
Tina, you can give us a call or go to our website. Our website is creationmatters.org, or our business phone, if you got a pencil there, is 425-269-3196. So you can give us a call there, and we'll try and get you some information on all that. Or we can come out and do a seminar for you.
Hey, now, did you want some of the tickets to the Lights of Christmas?
Absolutely.
Okay, how many did you want?
We have 7 people in our family.
7?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. We are counting off 7 tickets right now. Did we get your address already?
No, you didn't.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Heidi will get your address, and we'll send them out to you, okay? Okay.
Well, let's go to Kim in Silverdale. Do you have an opinion or an idea about these days of creation?
Yeah, I think the original Hebrew word is yom, and my understanding is that that's one day, a 24-hour period, and I believe that the earth was created in 6 literal days.
I like that, Kim, but can I play devil's advocate here for just a moment?
Sure.
See, I used to be an evolutionist, and for 30 years I was an evolutionist, but I've been on both sides, and I travel all over the country, and I get to many churches that have beliefs all over the board. But let me play devil's advocate for here just a moment. You know that word yom, which is the Hebrew word for day? Did you know it can have other meanings? It can mean the daylight portion of a day. It can mean a literal day. It can mean some indefinite period of the time, such as the day of the Lord. And let me throw this one at us. How about 2 Peter 3:8, where it says, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is the day of the Lord. Doesn't that tell us that the days of creation are long periods of time? Now, I'm playing devil's advocate here, Kim, because those are the things that we see happening in churches just like that.
Well, you can raise a lot of questions, like how in the world did Noah stuff all those animals on the ark as well? But I think once you get an understanding of God and have faith in God, I think that it's easy to have faith. You don't need to have the faith of God, but you have to have faith in God.
I believe that 100%, Kim. And you stay on the radio station. We're going to hang up here just a moment, but you listen, because we're going to answer those questions. I just played devil's advocate, 2 Peter 3:8. Let me answer that one, and let's go to that one. I want to answer that question right now.
No, we're gonna put you on hold. If you would like some tickets, would you like some tickets?
Yes.
Oh, we got you. We already got your address, I understand.
Yes.
And how many tickets did you want?
5.
Got them. Okay.
Thank you,
Kim.
Thank you. And stay tuned, because I'm going to answer that question right after we come back from a commercial break. And we want to hear your ideas about the days of creation. Were they literal days, long depth periods of time? Or how about this? Does it even really matter what we believe about the days of creation? Because that's where most churches are today. They don't even think it matters. So we need to come to some kind of an answer.
Give us a call, 800-955-8200. 800-955-8200. We'd love to get your question and answers.
Welcome back to Creation Matters. I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and with me in studio today is Fred Wilson, a former high school science teacher, and Pete Talbot, our...
A former science D student. What can I say? I was not good in the sciences, but I wish I'd had a teacher like you, Fred.
Thank you.
I really, really do. This whole topic of how many days of creation, I'm really glad you took this one on, Mike.
Yes, when you speak about science, you know what I found out about science? It's more fun than computers any day. And I've been in computers for 25 years, and I find this more fascinating than all the computers have ever done. But we left off with Kim, and we played a little devil's advocate there, talking about the 2 Peter 3:8 passage that says, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is the day of the Lord. And doesn't that talk about the days of creation being long, indefinite periods of time? Well, that's a perfect case of taking God's word out of context. You see, 2 Peter 3:8 has no creation context in it. If you read above 2 Peter 3:8 and below 2 Peter 3:8, you won't see any mention of creation there. What you do find there is 2 Peter 3:8 in the context is talking more about the end times. It's talking about the attributes of God that He created time and stands outside of time. So it has nothing to do with creation in there. So we need to keep God's word in context, just like we should anybody else's word. Fred, do you have anything more on that?
Well, in that particular passage, it says that one day is as 1,000 years. Now, the is as does not say equal to. It's a metaphorical expression. So as a metaphorical expression, the one day has to be a literal day. Otherwise, the passage makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
So, Kim, you are right on track there. Yom seems to mean a literal day. Now, and if you don't agree with that, do you have any evidence to help support this issue of days being long periods of time?
And this maybe is a good time to remind our listeners, if you want to call in and answer the question, you know, is it 6 days, six 24-hour days, or is it six periods of time? Give us a call here in the studio. And remember, tonight we're playing Santa Claus 2. We've got more tickets. I think we've got 21 tickets left to the Lights of Christmas. These are each worth $10, and we would love you to call. We will send you as many as you need within a realistic number. And call us, 800-955-8200. That's 800-955-8200.
And if we have an extra caller, Pete, I'll even donate my free ticket. Isn't that big of me?
Takes it to 22.
Well, let's go out. We have Yolanda from Seattle. Yolanda, do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I was wondering about the Sabbath. You guys was talking about there might have not been a day of rest, but it talks in the Bible about the Sabbath day. So can you relate that to what we're talking about as far as the days of creation?
Well, yes, there were 6 days of creation, and then God rested on the seventh day. So there is a day of rest in there. So we agree 100% with that. When we talk about the days of creation, we normally talk 6 days he worked and 1 day he rested. And that is the model for how we should be living.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, let's go to Jesse. Jesse, do you have a question for us?
Actually, I have a comment. And I was just driving in my car, and I was listening to this, and I thought, this is fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Actually, it's not really hard to figure out. But Cassie says the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day, and so on and so on and so forth. And that just clears it up for me.
Well, I like that, Jesse. So far we have 2 Peter 3:8 doesn't talk about creation days, and now we have evening and morning supporting that those days of creation were literal 24-hour periods.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Jesse.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's a good comment.
I like that. I like people who are into the Bible like that. Give us a call if you have any ideas on what those days of creation were. And we have other evidences about what those days are. Fred, do you have any further things on why the day could either be a short period of time, like a literal 24-hour period, or is it a long period of time?
Well, whenever you find in Scripture a number with the word Yom, like day one, day two, first day, second day, it's always consistently all through the Old Testament a 24-hour period. That's the only way you can read it to make sense.
What you're saying there is when we read through Genesis, we read first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Mm-hmm. What you're saying there is every time in the Old Testament we find a number used with the word day, it only means a literal day?
Yes.
Well, did you know that occurs over 350 times in the Old Testament? In every single case, it does mean a literal day.
It is talking about a 24-hour day. So did this whole concept, at least from the church's perspective, did this whole concept just come from laziness on our part, theologically, that we're just not willing to stand up to debate? How did we get here so that there's actually Christians out there and some theological seminaries, I might point out, that I won't mention, that drive me crazy, that subscribe to this thousand or million or billion year per day theory? How did we get so far off track?
Well, you want to know one of the reasons, and I travel all over the world and get to see all these situations. I get into major universities, sometimes into public schools where I just talk about the science, and I get to churches, all denominations. You know, one of the things I found out, especially in the churches, is most church leaders, or many church leaders, take their worldview from man first and not from God's word. In other words, they don't start their thinking with God's word.
Well, I was afraid you were going to say that, but it's not fun to hear that.
In other words, if all our thinking does not start with God's word, then maybe we don't trust God's word.
Yeah. Hey, I know you're going to take another call here real fast. Folks, if you want to call in and get in your 2 cents worth, we would love to hear from you. What do you think? Is it six literal 24-hour days, like Fred and Mike here are saying, or are we talking about a million years, a billion years, what have you, for each day? We'd love your thoughts on that. And again, you can get some free tickets. We've still got some left. The Lights of Christmas up at Warm Beach, they just do a spectacular job. They're worth $10 each, and their year's free just for calling in. Call us 800-955-8200. We've got a couple of lines open right now, so give us a call, 800-955-8200.
Or if you want to get some resources on what we're talking about today,
yes, good
actual
idea.
Resources where you can get free papers written by scientists and Hebrew scholars, go to our website, creationmatters.org, and click on the box that says creationmatters.org with the KGNW in it, and it'll take you right to a list, and you can find tremendous amounts of papers on just this topic.
Okay, let's take a call.
Let's go to Sue in Arlington. What do you have to think about the days of creation?
I was wondering, I do believe in 6 days, but I was wondering how important is it to believe that?
Wow, what a question.
That is so good.
That is the great question. Just for that, we'd be willing to give you as many free tickets as you want there.
Well, we only need two.
Two, okay. We're going to give them to you for free, too. We won't even charge you for these free tickets. But a wonderful question, Sue. Why does it matter? Because, that's where most churches are. Well, let me give you some reasons why it does matter, some good biblical reasons.
Okay.
One, if the age of those days are long periods of time, then that puts death before sin, because what would be going on for those billions of years, if each one of those days is millions of billions of years, before Adam and Eve came on board? The answer would be death and decay, because that's what the fossil record is. So therefore, we have a God who created death and decay and was not due to sin. And that begs the question, what does God's curse do at the fall? If it was already in corruption, his curse has no effect on anything. And then
I have never heard that before. Excuse me, I didn't mean to butt in on our caller here, but
no, that
blown me away. I've been a Christian for 50 years almost. That's absolutely logical. And, Mike, that's great. Praise the Lord.
My wife was brought up in a church that didn't teach this topic, and she tried to marry evolution in the Bible. And she was very active in her church. Matter of fact, her father was a pastor. And she was brought up just putting billions of years in. And after we got married, when I went overboard and became a Christian and started believing in creation, I made that mention to her. And she stopped and thought, wow, death before sin, that's not what the Bible teaches. Romans 5:12, 1 Corinthians 15 teach that death came through one man as a result of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the
Amazing.
Main arguments. It's the authority of God's word, and if death was not the penalty for sin, if there was already death, then why did Jesus Christ have to physically die on the cross? So it would come to all these issues. Well, thank you very much, Sue.
Sue, you need two tickets, and we've got your address, right?
Yes, you do.
Hey, God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's take another call, Mike.
Well, let's go to Catherine in Snohomish. Do you have a question for us or an idea of what these days were?
Well, the way I understand it, it has to be just one day, like the Bible says, because take a hive of bees, the whole thing had to be made all at once. It couldn't have been one here and one there, and they had to be all made at once, or they never would have survived for 6 weeks even.
I like that, Catherine, because, here's another part of that when you talk about the bees and making honey and all that. What about, let's just play here again. Let's suppose those days were long periods of time. Let's just play here for just a moment, and I'm going to show you something here. Plants were created on day 3.
Yeah.
The sun was not created until day 4. So if these days are long periods of time, then we have plants surviving for millions of years with no sunlight. That doesn't even work scientifically.
Oh, this is driving me nuts. This is driving me nuts. Why haven't I heard that before? I want to know why I haven't heard that before. I mean, I've believed, for maybe other reasons, in the literal 24-hour days, because the Bible is and what it says, I believe. But, Mike, why haven't I heard that before?
You haven't paid any attention to creation, for creation research.
Yeah, and I've been in some of the best churches, at least by reputation, the most fundamental evangelical churches in the area, and I've never heard that as a child, through high school, through college. and as an adult, I've not heard that. And that brings honor and glory to the Lord. And it hacks me off.
Well, thank
you. Also, I'm excited. Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Catherine, for the call.
We're going to put you on hold if you'd like some tickets. Do you want some?
No, I can't use them.
Use them? That's okay. Thank you for calling.
God bless you,
Catherine. You've made the show a better show.
And we're going to go to a break now. And when we come back, we have a couple of lines open. Give us a call if you have ideas about the days of creation. Does the Bible teach how old the earth is, and does it really matter? Well, we saw one reason it matters, but how about anybody out there? Do you think the days of creation are really long periods of time? Give us a call, 206-374-8800, or toll-free, 800-955-8200, and give us a call and get these free tickets to the Lights of Christmas.
I think we've got about 15, maybe 13 left. I'll check with Heidi, but we'd love to give them all out tonight. Blessings, everyone. Boy, is this a good show or what?
Welcome back to Creation Matters, and I'm Mike Grill here, your host, with Fred Wilson, a former science teacher out of San Diego, and Pete Talbot, one of our regulars, who's just hot on this topic.
I tell you, and I'm kind of embarrassed that I'm so ignorant, but I'm being so blessed by what's being revealed here to confirm my belief in the 24-hour real day like the Bible talks about.
And so far, what we've seen is all the evidence seems to support that they were literal days.
And I love these questions that you're getting because it's opening the door to some of this truth, real scientific reality truth that gives credence to the Word of God. I love this.
Well, let's go to the phones again. We have a lot of callers out here. And David from Renton, you have a question for us or an idea about these days of creation.
Well, I was wondering, on the seventh day, there was no nightfall that followed it like the first through six. And so I also noticed that it said in my Revised Standard 1952 version that God finished the works that he had been doing and he rested on the seventh day. So there was actually two things that he was doing on the seventh day. And I was wondering, since it didn't list a nightfall after it, is it possible that we would be in the seventh day, and which would imply that I'm talking about potentially some very long days?
Oh, good question, David. Since the seventh day appears to be a little different, doesn't have the terms evening and morning around it, is it possible that day is different? And we could still be in the seventh day. Well, here's some problems with that. When it talks about the word rested in verse 3 there, it's in what we call the Hebrew qual perfect, which means it's a third person singular, third masculine singular person, indicates that it is a completed action, is a past tense. Then a second problem with the seventh day continuing on through today is God sanctified the Sabbath, the seventh day. So if he sanctified it and made it a holy day, then we have a problem. We have all this corruption and chaos and everything else going on. What happened to his sanctified day? It's no longer sanctified. We have a lot of corruption going on. And then there's the other part. God himself indicates that the seventh day is completed and that the 24-hour Sabbath was patterned after day seven when he asserts this. In Exodus 20, verse 11, he says, "In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day." That is past tense, meaning it is completed. In the Hebrew grammar, that is a completed action. So are we still in the seventh day? Not according to the actual grammar structure and the vocabulary of Genesis and Exodus there. So we are out of the seventh day. It is completed. Thank you very much for giving us that.
Oh, I think Fred wants to say something here.
Fred, you have something.
Also, in John, Christ talks about, "My Father and I now go back to work again." So they had to go back to work because sin entered into the situation.
That's right. Well, thank you very much.
That was interesting. Thank you for your call. I think she wants us to go to line two. Line two.
Line two. William, Seattle, you have a question for us.
Hi. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that while I was driving in my car, I kind of felt like Pete going, "Wow, I've never heard that out loud."
Kind of embarrassing for me, anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was all alone, so it didn't embarrass me at all.
Oh, good.
You know, second of all, I would like to, and And I'm a new Christian, and I'm just learning the Bible, but I find it imperative as a believer that I get this stuff down pat and down straight, because this is verse 1, chapter 1, and if I'm not right on this, then when I'm sharing my testimony with others, how are they going to believe anything else that comes out of my mouth?
Wow, well, you nailed it right there, William. You really nailed it, because one of the reasons it matters. If we're giving our testimony, if we're giving the gospel to a non-believer, and they come back and ask us the question, what about Genesis? And we say, oh, it really doesn't mean what it says there. Then what have we just said about the rest of the Bible?
That's right, the virgin birth, the resurrection. Well, you have to take down the grain.
Good.
Everything
point.
Crumbles, and our witnesses,
good
witness
point.
Crumbles. Thank you so much for that one.
Hey, hey, William, did you get some tickets?
No, but I'd love some.
How many would you like?
Three.
Well, okay, three tickets to William. We're going to put you on hold, and that leaves us three tickets. So, William, we're going to put you on hold.
Great, thank you very much. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you so much. And we've got three tickets left.
Three tickets left. And we have a lot of callers here.
Okay.
Let's go to Kathy out of Bothell. You have a question for us or something about the days of creation.
Yes, I do believe that a day is a day. But I also have another question. How can they say that the Earth is like a billion years old through looking at a tree? You know, like when you go to a historical site and you see a tree and it talks about it, and then they'll say it's a billion years old. How can they say that? I mean, what are they going on?
Well, good question, Kathy. First of all, the trees won't be a billion years old. We measure the dates of the trees by a lot of times a science called dendrochronology. I use that word because it makes me sound smart now, but what we're talking about is tree ring dating. And tree ring dating is not an exact science, because sometimes trees can get more than one ring a year. But how do they determine the age of the Earth by dating these rocks? Well, let me give you one big clue. They won't tell you this in the textbooks, but all the dating methods that they use are based on assumptions. For instance, they assume, first of all, that the Earth is billions of years old, then their dating has to match that. That is an assumption of evolution. They assume that when they date that rock, it started in a pure form. So we take a look at what we find in the rock, use our worldview, whether it happens to be evolution or the Bible, and then make an assumption, a guess at how old that thing is. Well, when we find out, and we look at the actual dates of these rocks, you can take a rock, date it the same method three different times, and you know you get three different dates there.
Really?
They never tell us that. All they do is put one date in the textbooks. You can take five different dating methods and date the same rock and get a different date by sometimes over 100 million years different. And do you know Mount St. Helens, when it blew up in 1980? There was fresh lava flows that came out of that and fresh rocks. Those rocks today are only 20 years old. But when they dated them using the evolutionist dating methods and assumptions, they dated it over 2 million years old. Does their dating process work? Absolutely not. But yet, that information doesn't get taught in the schools.
Excellent. Excellent call. And we've got three tickets left. Did you need them?
Well, I have some in my family.
You have how many?
Six.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. If I can get you six tickets, would you definitely use them?
Yes, I would love to go.
Okay. We're going to send you six. I've got three in my pocket. And you can have these. And,
thank you.
So we've got three and three, and we're out of tickets, but we're going to put you on hold, or do we already have your address?
No.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold right now, and we'll be able to send her some tickets. And I think we better go to a break, Heidi,
yes,
if that's
break.
Okay. And when we come back, we're going to take more calls, but we've got one line open. So if you'd like to call make your point or ask a question of Fred or Mike Riddle here, we'd love you to call 800-955-8200. Is this good stuff or is this good stuff?
And don't forget, go to our website, creationmatters.org. Click on the Creation Matters box at the top of the website there, and you can get tons of information on this topic. If you just tuned in, this is Creation Matters with Mike Riddle, and we're talking about the days of creation in Genesis chapter 1. How long were they? Were they literal days or were they long periods of time? And with me is Fred Wilson, a former basketball coach at high school and science teacher, and Pete Talbot is with us, one of your favorite topics there. And we have some callers on the line. We want to get to them before we end this last segment. So let's go to Dean in Kamado Island. And, Dean, you have a question for us.
Yeah, a quick comment first. I often wonder why God took so long in the first place. 6 days seems like an awful long time.
I like that.
That's good.
And I always wonder what he did on the seventh day for resting. But my question is, just for clarification, I believe God can do anything. I was just curious if you guys could shed some light, no pun intended, on how he created night and day on the first day, but he didn't create the moon and sun until the fourth day.
Another great question, Dean. In other words, how in the world can we have a day before we have the sun? How do we have the light and darkness in there?
Exactly.
Well, let's take an approach on this. First of all, we have to look at what causes a day for the Earth. What is the day? What is the astronomical motion or figure that causes a day?
One rotation.
Exactly. So we don't need the stars, the sun, or the moon to count for a day. It's a rotation on the Earth axis there. Gives us our one day. But what about that light? How do we have light and darkness? Well, it begins with God created the light and the darkness. He separated the light and the darkness.
Yep.
Well, scientifically, we know we don't need the sun for light, because there's many other forms of light. Electromagnetic waves are forms of light, so we don't need that. But also, throughout the Bible, God is light. So he could be our first source of light. So,
gotcha.
And then, when in the book of Revelation, when everything is taken away, the sun, the moon, and the stars are all taken away, guess what's still there? Light.
Yep.
So we don't need the sun for our initial source of light. And I think God did it this way, not creating the sun until day four, so we wouldn't go out there and worship it. And unfortunately, we do have a lot of people that do sun worship, and we have a lot of people that worship rocks and crystals and everything else today. But I believe God made his creation order very specific to keep us from going out and worshiping all these things, such as the sun, because we don't need it for our initial source of light. God is light and many other forms. Thank you very much, Dean. Fred, you have something on that.
Another point, if you think about one of the plagues in Egypt against Pharaoh and his kingdom, there was three days of absolute darkness over the whole nation except in the land of Goshen. So how can you have light in Goshen and totally dark everywhere else? That shows God's control of light.
And I like what you said at first, Dean. We have a God who can do anything. Right out of Jeremiah 32:17, Our Lord God, thou hast created the heaven and the earth by thy great hand and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for thee. And we can go to the bank on that one, can't we?
Yep.
Thank you so much, Dean. God bless you. Well, let's take a look at some more of these days of creation. You know, we talked about the day with the number beside it always means a day. Evening and morning defines a day. Exodus 20, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And he wrote that down on the stone tablets when he was doing the Ten Commandments. But, you know, there are other reasons why that day is a day. You know, there are other Hebrew words that can be used to indicate a period of time. And some of these Hebrew words can be used to indicate a long period of time, but God used none of them. He specifically chose the word day. Then you can look at the grammatical structure of a Hebrew sentence, and you can determine whether it's poetic or whether it's written in historical fashion, meaning narrative. For instance, in a Hebrew sentence, if you look at it and you see the structure is the subject comes first, then the verb, then the object, subject, verb, object. That's a poetic style writing, such as we see in a lot of the Psalms. But in a Hebrew sentence, if the verb comes first, then the subject, then the object, that's narrative style writing, meaning real history. Well, how is Genesis 1 actually translated? When we translate Genesis, starting in verse 1, it reads this way. In the beginning, created God the heavens. Created is the verb. God is the subject. Heavens is the object. That is verb, subject, object. That means Genesis chapter 1 is written as narrative history, not poetic, not allegory, folks. And the conclusion is those days of creation are literal 24-hour type periods. And we can bank on that because that's exactly what God's Word says. And all the science today exactly supports exactly that. 6 literal days and a day of rest not very long ago. Well, if you'd like to know more about this subject of days of creation, if you'd like to know more about creation itself, If you're a beginner in this topic, we have books, we have resources for you that will help you understand this issue. You need to go to our website, creationmatters.org, and we have a book out there called It Matters What We Believe. This is your basic creation apologetics book. In that book, you'll find all about what the days of creation were. You'll hear counter arguments why they're not days and how to answer those arguments, such as Hosea 6:2, 2 Peter 3:8. How could Adam name all the animals in a single day? Do the facts of science support an old age? You'll know how to answer all those questions. You'll learn about the Genesis flood. Was it a worldwide flood? Yes, folks, it was a worldwide flood because the Bible clearly teaches that and the geology supports that. You'll learn about why is the Bible reliable, and you'll see lists of hundreds, over 100 PhD scientists that believe in a literal sixth day of creation. Also out there, you'll find brand new DVDs that we've put together, a whole DVD on just this topic called Creation Evolution, Does It Matter What We Believe? Talks all about there, the days of creation, and on there you'll have Hebrew scholars and scientists giving their testimony why they believe a day is a literal day. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get into this more, we have DVDs on the origin of man. Were we created or did we evolve from ape-like creatures? We'll talk about the origin of life on one. We have one on dating fossils and rocks. Talks all about carbon-14 dating and radioisotope dating and how the dating process really supports a very young Earth. So we have those resources out there. We even have audio CDs if you'd like to listen to those in the car. So go to our website, creationmatters.org, or, you know, if you're not a web person, you can always give us a call, 425-269-3196. And remember, in the beginning, God created, and it was not a chance accident, folks. We can trust the Bible from very beginning to very end. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.